The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. 8 a.m. Central Time here for those of you listening to us in Central. It's 9 a.m. if you're listening in Eastern for those of you that are like, I haven't had my first cup of coffee yet. I can't do the math. And, of course, the show is brought to you by the Power Mall, which is now open. For those of you who want to call at 877-817-9829 and get your 10% off OptiVita products this week. Now, we've got somebody on the show that's got a book that's going to be released on Amazon tomorrow. So we thought we'd bring him on the show. He's stranded. He was supposed to go to D.C., but now he's here. He's on a microphone with us. And you can see him if you're streaming live, watching us on the link, on the video link of the Power Hour. We will be rebroadcasting this on Brighty on Rumble and BitChute later. So you can see this handsome guy named Joe Allen, who works with Steve Bannon in the War Room. He is kind of the guy that's behind the transhumanism, and that's what his book is about, Dark Aeon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. And, of course, Steve Bannon, being the guy that he is, wrote a foreword in this book. And, again, tomorrow it'll be available on Amazon. And of course, we talked about Neuralink and transhumanism on the show before, so this may not be anything new, but there may be some tidbits of new information, because Joe, when I got it and I downloaded it, it was like 504 pages in my PDF, and I'm like, oh my God, that's a big book. But then Joe informed me it's only 400 something pages. So I don't know how long it took you a while to write this, did it not, sir? Welcome to the show.
Very good to be here, Dave. Yeah, it took me a minute to write it. I wrote it twice, actually. That's a long story, but or I should say I wrote it 1.5 times. But yeah, and it is available. It's available on all three major platforms, Amazon, bookshop.org, and Barnes & Noble for pre-sale. Ships out tomorrow, and I'm very excited. But yeah, it's 500 pages, but 100 pages of that is citation index. Ah. It's heavily, heavily cited, so no one suspects that I made anything up.
That's right. But still, you see, that's like Fauci, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book contained that kind of substance, so they can't attack you. He put all those links and citations in the book. Good for you that you did that, so people can't question, is this guy really there, or is this just a farce? What is up with this book? No, folks. You know, we're telling you something. Elon Musk has already come out and said he's created Neuralink. They want to put chips in your brain. What else do they want to do, Joe?
Well, Elon Musk gets a lot of attention for this, mainly because he advertises Neuralink as a commercial product, a future commercial product. They got FDA approval last year, I believe, earlier this year. So they'll start human testing in short order. The thing is, though, the brain-computer interface, the implanted brain-computer interface, that's been around for quite some time. Really, the first work on brain-computer interfaces began in earnest in the 60s, but it really had a leap forward in this millennium, so in the last, say, 15 to 20 years. The first advanced brain-computer interface, I believe, was implanted 2006 or thereabouts, a man named Matthew Nagel, who learned how to play Pong with his brain. He had been attacked and had his spinal cord severed. So he was one of the very first advanced brain-computer interfaces, so that you're actually controlling a computer system with your brain. Now you've got BlackRock Neurotech, funded by Peter Thiel. BlackRock Neurotech has just hit their 50-patient mark. It wouldn't surprise me if they've gone above now. You have Synchron, which is a smaller company, but a more ambitious design. They don't have an official count that I'm aware of, but it should be somewhere just under a dozen. So it may sound like a small number, but these experiments are already being done. They're being done successfully. People are able to control everything from computer like a cursor on a computer screen to actually just the the electrodes themselves are able to read the patterns of the brain to determine what words one is intending to speak. So locked-in patients are able to actually kind of speak with their brains to type out text by thinking the words instead of going through with the cursor and clicking buttons. And then, of course, controlling robotic systems, so on and so forth. So Neuralink is actually behind as far as implementation, but Neuralink's design is quite a bit more advanced. And as you just mentioned, with Elon Musk, Neuralink's intention is much more ambitious. Their intention is to have a commercial product, a smartwatch for your brain, as Elon Musk puts it. And, you know, personally, Dave, I think that this is major for a lot of reasons. I think that the implanted brain-computer interface represents symbolically the ultimate fusion of the human mind with the digital system. But really, the ubiquitous nature of the smartphone, the invasive nature of the smartphone, the mind control elements of the smartphone, I think in many ways the brain-computer interface distracts attention from a problem we already have. And it's really just a matter of degrees.
Well, you've got AI messing with this stuff, too. And this is the thing that right now, historically, is tying billions of people to a surveillance network, is it not?
1,000% it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't have anything to hide. And you may not right now. But
I dismiss that, Joe.
Yeah, all it takes is a shift in the politics, and suddenly what you don't have to hide now is something that can either land you in prison or at least get your career ended. Also, though, just beyond the individual, like certain individuals are going to be targeted for specific surveillance if they're a person of interest. The real power of smartphone surveillance, of, all the ubiquitous sensors everywhere, the real power of that is in the aggregate. Is being able to monitor whole populations, not just their physical movements, not just their spending, but their online behavior, their sentiments, and even mining their private communications. So if you don't have end-to-end encryption, the chances of, say, Google or, if you're on Gmail, it's being siphoned up anyway. All of this is being used to map social networks to see who knows who and who speaks with who. It's used to map psychological profiles, so individuals have dossiers at all sorts of shady third-party companies, but also the majors. And what this does is it allows corporations and where the government is involved, governments, to monitor populations in real time for potential unrest, for any undesirable sort of sentiment or behavior. And you see it much more openly deployed in China, but I don't think that our corporate model in America is a whole lot more benevolent.
This is some pretty scary stuff, folks. We have been talking about surveillance state before, and the fact that even though you turn the cell phone off, the fact of the matter is it's still on and it's still picking up everything you say. And if it didn't, and here you go on your Gmail or here you go on Google and you start looking up stuff and doing research on things, and all of a sudden all these ads pop up of stuff that you were sitting there talking to your wife over coffee about. I mean, this is pretty scary stuff. You go into Dillard's and all of a sudden, we know you're here. Here's all the sales this week. My God. And people, are they still that dense? I mean, what's your reaction, from the war room side of things? What's the reaction out there to what we should be recognizing that we're just kind of like playing it off?
There are a lot of people who have woken up, and it's not just me sounding this alarm. There are people across the political spectrum talking about this. So there are large numbers of people awake to it. One major problem, though, is the necessity of the smartphone to get by in modern civilization. It's becoming more and more a requirement for even the most basic interactions, and certainly an email address, a credit card, things like that. The ties to the digital system are getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and it's becoming more and more difficult to escape. The CBDs coming up, the central bank digital currencies, it's still in an experimental phase, but should that be rolled out en masse, and of course, should that become the norm, you're talking about a scenario in which not only can they shut down your credit card, they can just shut off your money. I mean, your money itself is on a centralized blockchain, or it's centrally controlled blockchain. It's kind of complicated, but you can imagine that basically, rather than having the possibility of getting cash, you are forced to use your card, or who knows, in the most nightmarish scenario, one is forced to use their palm, right? I do apologize for the interruption here, Dave, but our screens are frozen up. I just want to make sure that the audio is still there. Can you still hear me?
Oh yeah, we're good to go. Yeah, I see your screen's frozen up. Mine's not, but yours is, and I think it probably is because of the Wi-Fi connection in the hotel. Wi-Fi connections are no fun in hotels. We've already figured that out. Maybe it's because you're talking about this subject, they froze your screen. Who knows?
Well, I can tell you one thing is for certain. If you are going to talk smack about the machines are going to do everything to impede you. I sometimes think that, you know, maybe Skynet has already taken over and has a grudge against just me.
Yeah, you never know. It's crazy how certain things get censored and certain things don't. But yet we can still hear you, and that's fine. This thing is still going to play out over BitChute, Rumble and Brighteon. So the bigger thing is now we've got robots, and see what the Dark Aeon, I think we're talking about, is the interfacing of man and machine. And I don't see it happening. I don't care if they've got this world famous robot, Sophia, based on the dark Gnostic goddess or Aeon, who's led to the creation of our flawed material world. These Gnostic myths, I don't put a lot of faith in it. This is just like, I think what's taught us is all the lies that Fauci and the CDC and the NIH put forward, and the pushback that we're now seeing on the mask mandates. They're now saying, no, we're not wearing a face diaper. We're out of this situation. We've fallen for this once. Now Biden wants to give millions more to ARPA-H, which to me is like DARPA, you know, and they want to do more gain of function research without telling anybody about it. They're at Emory University in Atlanta and create more of these mRNA vaccines. They're just not going to stop until they depopulate the world. And anybody that's talking about it all of a sudden winds up on a smartphone, goes into their network, and now they know who's talking about it.
Yeah, they without a doubt, companies like Google, for instance, have a very good map of who's thinking what, who's saying what. You know, it's widely distributed across networks. It's unknown how much these different corporations share information with one another. We do know that the government has a number of ways into this information, although the relationship isn't quite as tight as China, where in China, of course, the government and the corporations are basically the same entity. But either way, you know, we do know, I mean, we've known since, people have suspected forever, and correctly so, but since 2013, when the Guardian published Edward Snowden's revelation about PRISM, and it turned out that all of these different corporations were giving the federal government or the intel agencies backdoor access to their data. That included everyone from, at the time, AOL, people remember them, Yahoo, people remember them, but also Google, Facebook, Microsoft, so on and so forth. So if that was going on 10 years ago, it's very, very, very unlikely that it hasn't either increased or at least is still present. But you know, going back to the comment you just made about the ARPA-H, you know, I cover this in the book. We actually covered it really intensely when it was announced that it was going to be formed. And, of course, you had Renee Wegrizen was put in as the inaugural director. Renee Wegrizen comes straight out of DARPA. And, in fact, ARPA-H is, in some ways, just a health version of DARPA. I mean, it's you know, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and ARPA, Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. It's clear that they're modeled, and I'm sure that Renee Wegrizen is not the only person to go to be a go-between. And their first round of funding, ARPA-H, yes, they are definitely pumping money into companies who are doing experiments on mRNA vaccines. This is going to keep rolling out. All these different companies are coming up with all kinds of new uses for mRNA. So I don't think that they are going to relent in the least. But on top of that, ARPA-H is also funding things like Internet of Bodies sensors. Of course, machine learning. So they want to improve artificial intelligence and its ability to analyze all the data coming from bodies who are basically wired up so that all of their systems can be monitored. And, you know, there are a number of other things, including brain-computer interfaces that they're funding. And so, you know, ARPA-H, and especially Renee Wegerson herself, has very much that sort of transhuman bent, that desire to merge human beings with machines. Renee Wegerson, when she spoke at the Long Now Foundation, waxed poetic about DARPA's intention and now she claims ability to merge man with machine. And that is their, for many of the people operating in that space, that is the goal.
So now, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Joe Allen. He's got a master's degree from Boston University, where he studied cognitive science and human evolution as they pertain to religion. And I guess you used to work in the rock and roll, country rap, classical, and cage fighting productions as an arena rigger. So, you know, you got some experience in the public sector. But this whole thing people are looking at, this appears to be very similar to what we're seeing or what we saw in the movie The Manchurian Candidate. This is where it's headed, isn't it?
That's certainly a scenario that one could easily imagine. Right now, the interesting thing about, so as long as we're still on the subject of the brain-computer interface, the goal of Elon Musk's Neuralink is to create a whole brain interface that is input-output. What that would mean is that the device would have access to every element in your brain. It would be able to read anything going on from your physical systems to, ideally, your thoughts, not unlike the primitive brain-computer interfaces that exist now. But it would also be input, meaning it would be able to write. It would be able to stimulate the brain. It might be able to stimulate experiences, dreams, visions. It might be able to stimulate voices. It might be able to stimulate muscular control. So right now, the brain-computer interfaces that they're working with, they're output only. So they can only read the brain. And because they're so primitive, they can only read specific parts. There are input systems. In fact, the last count, it was done a while back, 2019 was the last I've seen. There are deep brain stimulation devices. There that the count, it was published in PNAS, and the count was at 160,000 worldwide. So there is there are already experiments with stimulating the brain, but the deep brain stimulation is very simple right now. They can alter mood, they can halt tremors, they can even reduce addictive tendencies, and this has been used in Asia for this purpose. But as far as like the Manchurian Candidate, I think that, again, the most likely scenario for things like that are just simply psyops, just simply disseminating ideas through the existing digital network and targeting certain individuals. So we know there's a whole black hole of ignorance around this because of the secrecy. But we do know that, for instance, the FBI has targeted many people in America to groom them to become terrorists, and then once they finally get to the point that they freak out, they swoop in and arrest them, and it's considered a big win. Now, that's a direct way of doing it. There are indirect ways of doing it as well. This is discussed, but case studies are scant. You would just simply target someone with certain memes or certain digital information, and you would basically, slowly but surely, manipulate and in some sense take over their minds, and you really wouldn't know it was happening to you if they did it well. It would just be the types of information that came to you.
Yeah. See, now folks, 844-769-2944. We're on the phone with Joe Allen, rather on Skype. If you want to watch or you want to dial in, 844-769-2944. If you have a question about the new book, Dark Aeon, the thing is that this is all real. It's real stuff. It's happening. What we don't want is a zombie apocalypse. We don't want people basically with this computer implant being driven out of their mind to where they just go totally psycho and shoot up a Dollar General like what happened over the weekend in Jacksonville. So, you know, and the guy had a manifesto saying he hated it and then he turned a gun on himself. I mean, what's to stop people from going out and, wasting a whole crowd of folks and then killing themselves? they get to this kind of technology, it is entirely possible.
Yeah, you know, the brain-computer interface really does, I think, symbolically speaking, tell us a lot about where we're at right now. So you think about what the brain-computer interface is intended for. It's intended to read the person's thoughts and intentions, and it's intended, you know, again, with Neuralink and others, it's intended to impress thoughts and intentions on the brain. I really can't emphasize enough, I think, that the digital system that we have in place right now with the smartphone, you don't need a brain implant or a chip implant in your hand if you already have a smartphone. All the major difference between the two is how long it takes to get it out. And to be honest, a lot of the people who are completely welded to their smartphones, there's almost no distinction. You know, it really is, you already have a mind control device. It's a two-way mind control device. So there is a lot of input, and you also have the freedom of output. But I don't think anyone could deny that this entire sort of media sphere, the digital media sphere, is by and large controlled by corporations and government agencies. That they are the dominant powers who are determining the content on the major platforms.
But Joe, they're using AI to do it. I mean, we got lawyers being fined $5,000 for using AI to write legal briefs with citations that literally are false. And the judges are going, no, we're not doing that in the legal profession. I mean, if they're going to start using AI, and AI is making all sorts of mistakes, I mean, Grammarly is now out in the open. Yes, this is artificial intelligence. And I'm just like, oh, dude, seriously, they're in our face with this stuff. I mean, I want to go back to a flip phone, actually, and go to Patriot Mobile or something. Tim in Michigan, you're on the phone with Joe Allen. Go ahead.
If they can Neuralink to our brain and send messages or put codes or put pictures in our brain, why can't we as humans, they have had to reverse engineer it so there are humans that can do just the opposite, put Neuralink backwards. Does that make sense? Why can't we do it? Why can't we Neuralink to people? If they can make a computer link to our human brain, why can't my human brain link to somebody else's?
Okay, that's a great question. And so the intention behind Neuralink is to do just that. So it would be a two-way device. You would have the impressions coming in from the device, but of course you would be able to control the device, not unlike you can punch buttons on your smartphone. There's also the intention of creating what's known as a mind meld, also a hive mind. And so the mind meld would be your brain is connected not just to an AI system, but to another human brain. And so you could, in essence, share your feelings with one another, share your thoughts with one another. And many people, Peter Diamandis, close friend of Elon Musk being one of them, and many others, they talk about the creation of hive minds so that we would become sort of like a pulsating ant swarm. And our minds would be melded into one by way of brain-computer interfaces. And it's just to keep hitting this point, it's already noted that the social media platforms that billions of people use every day, these are the kind of precursors to what a deeper brain implant hive mind would look like.
Well, so that answers your question. That's a great question, Tim. The thing that gets me is that when you have that kind of collective hive mind situation, you're talking about like these riots that happened in 2020 all across the country about their ability to stimulate en masse riots against decent people, which that could happen if we get into another civil war, as Sarah Palin was alluding to, if this government doesn't stop misbehaving the way it's been, the way that they're attacking Trump. I mean, you know, Steve Bannon was associated with Trump, you know. And our tech is wondering, why does he have visions of Borg flashing through his mind?
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, those are great examples, especially the 2020 riots or the 2015 riots, for that matter, and also just the entire COVIDian cult post-2020. You've got to see in real time what happens when health authorities, when government agencies, and when corporations – basically pump ideas directly into people's brains through a digital system and are able to monitor it in real time and kind of tweak the message as they go along. It was the most insectoid human behavior I had witnessed to date.
Yep, no doubt. See, and the thing that gets me is, see, in Egypt, when they started the riots, they shut off all the cell towers so that people couldn't communicate back and forth. I mean, this smartphone, I mean, if you have that kind of social media availability and platforms on there where people can communicate and target their attacks, well, all you have to do is just shut it down. But here we have now 5G and even 6G. And all the potential, what people are scared of is that all this nanotechnology that's in our brain already from chemtrails and everything else we've been talking about on this show is the ability for the government to just start flipping switches and people start going crazy.
We'll have to agree to disagree on the nanobots, Dave. I don't think we're there yet.
But we could be.
We could be. Anything's possible. The evidence that I've seen has not been persuasive thus far. But one of the ironies of this world: how many people are sitting and staring at their smartphones 24/7 and worried about nanobots connecting their brain to 5G?
Yeah, there's a few, but
you know what I mean.
They call them conspiracy theorists. Is what they call them.
How ironic is it to worry about having your mind controlled by a digital system as you stare at the screen 24/7, absorbing these ideas? The nanobots would be redundant at that point. Nanotechnology is a really, really important element to Ray Kurzweil's vision for the future. Ray Kurzweil, of course, was the man who really put the idea of the singularity on the map, the idea that artificial intelligence, genomics, and nanotech would eventually kind of converge and coalesce to a point in which the technology itself would be so advanced that the artificial intelligence would be so much farther beyond the human that no human being would really be able to comprehend the system. No human being would really be able to control it. And the distinction between humans and humans and machines would have blurred to the point that, everyone who is part of the system would be a full on cyborg. He predicts 2045 as the date of the arrival of the singularity, but a huge element, nanotechnology. He believes that he's still alive for now. And he believes that nanobot swarms will fill the human body and not only repair things like cancer and tissue damage, but connect every neuron to the system so that the human brain would be able to link directly to the AI in the cloud or to other human beings in the cloud. That's wow. His vision.
Yeah, what God hath wrought. All right, can you stay with us for a few more minutes after the break? Terry in New York has a question for you, but is that cool with you?
Absolutely. We'll see if we can't get this video rebooted.
Yeah, all right, see what we can do there. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to the break. Terry in New York, stay right there. We're going to get to your question after the break, these important messages. And the Power Mall is open, by the way, for those of you who want to go shop right now, 877-817-9829. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients, such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time. For those of you dialing into the Power Hour, Dave Krieger with you. We're just hearing now that Elton John, 79 years old, has suffered a fall and has been hospitalized. For those of you that are either A, going, oh, my God, or cheering it on because of, you know, pretty much Mr. John has indicated how woke he is and how much in favor of transgenderism he thinks is cool. See, this is another thing. We're with Joe Allen right now, who writes about transhumanism for Steve Bannon's War Room. And understand that, you know, we're already being programmed if you have one of these. And if you're watching us live stream, I'm holding up my smartphone. Some of you are listening to us by phone. But see, the smartphone, they don't call it a smartphone for nothing. And they've basically been able to use the smartphone to get people hooked and addicted. That's why they have the old saying, all thumbs. Because people, just especially kids, are being brainwashed into, you know, being able to just sit there and text day in, day out, even during class when they're supposed to be learning what the Constitution of the United States stands for. This is how they got their foot in the door, isn't it, Joe?
Dave, I cannot agree with you more on, especially with the children. That is so critical. The addiction of that children are suffering to their devices is horrific. And one reason it's really horrific, unlike, say, heroin, where you can begin to see a lot of physical problems pretty early. You know, they stop eating. You know, oftentimes they just become pallid. They got track marks up and down their arm, things like that. With the smartphone, it's a lot subtler. You don't have the same sort of obvious signs that there's something wrong, except for maybe that kind of vacancy, a lack of emotional maturity oftentimes, the compulsion to go there, and that brainwashing element. You know, Abigail Schreier, who wrote Irreversible Damage, I believe the name of the book is, But, you know, based off of a study which showed that transgenderism, especially among females, was closely associated with children's smartphone use and especially their social media behavior, that basically they first become transgender, you could say, through relationships that they developed in a social media space, oftentimes with an adult groomer. And aside from that kind of peer pressure that largely has coalesced online, there's another phenomenon where, you know, the more that children begin to identify with virtual characters online, be it a social media profile or avatars on video games, what have you, they sort of disassociate from the body. And so I think there's a very good argument to be made that a lot of this explosion of transgender identification among young people is a virtualization of their personalities. And again, as this deepens and as the technologies become more sophisticated, this is just a sneak preview. That poor little pinkhead kid that is, you know, completely out of his mind and confused and thinking about killing himself or herself or whatever, that is like, that's a very tiny percentage at the moment, but it's growing rapidly. And I really do, it worries me that this generation of digital natives will be a kind of cultural mutation far beyond anything we've seen thus far. And it's been crazy enough as is.
That's another name for guinea pig. Terry, yes. Terry in New York, you're on with Joe Allen. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous, sir. Thanks for asking.
Fabulous, sir. Thanks.
Okay, my question is, when you have no service on your smartphone, can they still listen to you?
I would think, if you have other things going on and you dial into the show, I would think that you should be able to, unless you're actually disconnecting from your telephone on your smartphone. I can have somebody on the phone line if they're listening to us at 631-359-8232, and you decide that you want to go surfing and go see something, you can still leave your phone intact and be able to go surfing. You can, like anything with your regular computer, that you can open up multiple windows, you certainly can do that with the smartphone. Wouldn't you agree, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. If the caller's still on, do you also mean, though, that, like, if your phone is completely disconnected, can it still listen to you? Can authorities still listen to you? Maybe he's gone. Maybe he unplugged. He's like, that's it. I'm done. That is one thing. A lot of people wonder, you know, if my phone is off, can authorities listen to me still? By and large, no. It's not, unless you're targeted specifically, but there are programs. So Pegasus being a big one out of Israel, where even if the phone is done, right, even if it's turned off, they can turn on components to listen. Now, you would have to be very specifically targeted for that. It's not like day to day. But really, the only way that I'm aware of, if you have your phone on you, to make sure 1,000% that nobody's getting in there on you, is to have it placed in a Faraday bag or something like that.
Yeah, I get that. We have such a device here. And the thing is that if you can block the cell transmission, that's generally how they listen in if you're worried about it. Faraday bags don't cost a ton of money. I have one. It's about this big. For those of you looking on the screen, I wish I could just go reach over there and grab it out of the closet. But yeah, when we have private conversations, we generally put our cell phones in a Faraday bag so nobody can listen to it. Now, the thing is, though, we're talking about AI and the opportunities it has. Most of these things are not programmed to be middle of the road logical. These things have been utilized. We saw this with the guy in South America that, I think it was Rio or Buenos Aires, got on the phone on social media with a smartphone with AI, and AI told him to kill himself, and he went and did it.
Yes.
So, you know, your point you just made was spot on.
Yeah, that was a very disturbing story. There are a number of other instances where I wonder, that's an extreme, right? At the end of that one, you have a dead body, so it's pretty obvious that there's a problem. But, you know, GPT comes on the heels of another really famous program called Replica, which is mainly used for romantic encounters. It's been around. Replica has been around, if I'm not mistaken, since 2017 or so. So it's had roughly half a decade to build momentum. It has millions of users, and people it's text based. And what happens is people use it as a kind of a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and they become romantically entangled with a machine. I don't think, much like transgender children, much like the psychopathic mass shooting phenomenon, much like any of the bizarre kinds of cultural mutations that simply didn't exist 100 years ago in any meaningful way, all of these, I think, are going to continue increasing. And as that happens, the purpose of my book is to prepare people to live in a world where these technologies become predominant, and also to prepare people to live in a world in which, either de facto or openly declared, many of their neighbors belong to a sort of techno-religion in which the highest power is technology, in which the cure for all the ails human beings comes through technology, in which at the extreme ends, and you already see this among many of the figures I write about, many of these kind of Silicon Valley figures like Sam Altman, this anticipation of a godlike AI that is superhuman in its abilities, and it will answer all questions that need to be answered. It will ultimately be able to control the systems that keep people alive indefinitely. And it is a religion. It is a techno religion. It's a heterodox religion. There are many different strains of it. But in Silicon Valley, in organizations like DARPA, in the CCP and the corporations there, Baidu, Tencent, companies like that, across the planet, there are all of these extremely influential and intelligent people working for these organizations who truly believe that godlike AI is not just a possibility, but that it is imminent. It's like watching a kind of cargo cult, except for every now and then the cargo actually arrives.
Scary stuff. Mike in Alaska, you're on with Joe Allen. Go.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, unintended consequences will get AI eventually, but think of this. Just think what they are preparing AI to do. Go back to Orson Welles' CBS radio program, War of the Worlds. They had people jumping out of high-rises to their death because they thought aliens had taken over. They did this back in the 40s. Or 30, I think it was 39 or 40, maybe in the 30s. Now, you think what they have today and what they're getting ready to do.
Your comment, Joe.
It's totally frightening. Yeah, and one other thing. Thank you for putting Richard Gage on tomorrow. He's one of the most important guests you've ever had on. But I'll get off the air and make room. Thank you, guys.
Sounds good. Appreciate that, Mike. Joe, your thought process on everything he just said.
So one of the really dangerous elements of AI, especially these large language models, is that they can do exactly that, except for instead of it being a centralized radio broadcast that goes out over the airwaves and hits radios and is uniform, AI can be targeted to individuals. You can have a large language model learning someone's mental state. They kind of take a psychological profile, their interests, their vulnerabilities, and you can send out propaganda like that, be it mild or be it very, very extreme, like alien invasion. And the AI allows for a degree of just fine-grained targeting of individuals rather than just all at once as a mass, if that makes sense. So that one person gets a message saying that the aliens have attacked the White House, and the other ones are, saying that they've taken up all the women into the UFOs to inseminate them or whatever. I'm talking in kind of caricature and extremes, but this sort of targeted messaging will be used, if it's not already being used, in politics. So that as people become more and more comfortable with artificial intelligence feeding them information, the political organizations will just simply kind of they'll craft their lies brain to brain instead of for the masses.
Oh, that makes all the sense in the world. And that's the really scary stuff, is how they can manipulate elections. I mean, Grammarly has just come out. I just saw, while I was on YouTube looking at a video, Grammarly commercial pops up and they're in your face, artificial intelligence oriented Grammarly. And I'm like, all they got to do is start studying the way you type and the way you write. And this AI technology picks up everything on that format, on that platform, and now it knows everything about you based on what you've inputted. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff.
It's astounding to me that people just willingly walk into this, you know, yawning jaws of Moloch sort of thing. I cannot believe that people accept the intrusion of mass surveillance, and I certainly can't believe that people accept the presence of a platform that is literally learning you in order to manipulate and replicate you. Grammarly is a big one. Another big one is Khan Academy. Khan Academy is used by millions upon millions of students. They have now, it's called Khanmigo. I guess it's sort of supposed to be like your amigo, but Khanmigo is a one-to-one AI tutor. And the explicit intention of this and many other AI tutors, Bill Gates is huge on this. But the explicit intention is to have an AI that learns you in and out. So the AI knows how to teach you, right? And if the AI is programmed to deliver information on astronomy or information on biology or even semi-neutral information on politics, that's one thing. But if the AI is tilted in any given direction or to the extreme, it's no longer an AI learning your brain in order to teach you. It's an AI learning your brain in order to brainwash you. Adults today, too many are vulnerable to it, but I think most are skeptical. Children won't be. So if you can imagine a world when these kids take the reins of the nation, it's a huge crisis bubbling up beneath our feet.
Well, the other thing that bothers me, too, is you had alluded to earlier in our conversation, Joe, is that these mass shooters that are out there doing what they do, like the one that shot up the school in Texas and various other places that we've seen, people are saying, look, it's not the gun, it's the individual. The thing is we don't know whether that individual went through this kind of programming, this dark side, this dark eon, as we're talking about here, the name of your book, and was manipulated or motivated to carry out an act like that or create a manifesto like the one in Jacksonville just did and like the one in Nashville did.
Yeah, we are fast moving into an era described very well by Philip K. Dick, the sci-fi novelist, in which human beings are never really sure what they're experiencing is real. Especially as people are more and more melded to their devices, as the digital network becomes the primary source for your information, with the proliferation of deepfakes, with the proliferation of brainwashing technologies, which could very well be used to create these sorts of mass shooter Manchurian candidates, the Manchurian candidate scenarios, we are entering an era in which there's going to be really three options. One, you trust the authorities because the authorities now are the only anchor, the only still anchor in this chaotic sea. Two, you just simply do what we're doing now, apply critical thinking and try to figure it out as best you can. Three, you lose yourself to digital psychosis. And I think that one is completely unacceptable. Already the authorities have proven themselves, and that goes from the government to corporate authorities to medical authorities, proven themselves to be corrupt, self-serving, and more than willing to lie whenever it serves their purposes. They cannot be held up as the ultimate authority any longer, and certainly in the future.
So number two is you live like the Amish.
I would love to. The problem with that is, how? Some will do this. Some will do this, and that's very, very good. The approach to this future is going to be very different for different people. Yeah. There'll be different degrees of adoption. But I do think, though, at the point we're at right now, human beings have been saturated so much. We're very close to three en masse, just total digital psychosis. It feels like it's just, one crisis away. I think that the more people unplug the better, the more people return to the sorts of organic, traditional forms of communication and relationship, the better. Not saying destroy your smartphone, but if you have that luxury, do it by all means.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going back to the flip phone, Joe. I really am. Brady in Vegas, you're on the phone with Joe Allen. Go.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering what your thoughts were on in Maui when all those people got burnt up by the dews and direct energy weapons. Why are all the colors blue not affected? And I kind of looked into it. It's because different colors, when a laser hits it, it doesn't do nothing because of the wavelength. So when you go back and you look at all these pictures in Maui of all the burnt stuff where they started their lasers, everything blue is still there.
Okay, now, Brady, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. We've got pro and con arguments. I mean, Deborah Tavares is going to be on the show this week to talk about it. DV just wrote an article saying, no, there's no proof that it was a do. But the thing is we know, and it's been put out there. I mean, I just listened to an interview with Deborah Tavares, who's going to be on our show this week. And she said the technology is there. I mean, we are in a wave of technology where certain things, if they want to target stuff, they have the capability, which is why Reagan created Space Wars. Now, moving into a different direction with AI and everything that we're talking about here, Joe Allen, is it possible that AI could start a world war, a nuclear holocaust?
Yes, absolutely. The more sophisticated, now it could be because a human being has turned it loose. I think that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
But when people talk about the AI as an existential risk, when people talk about AI either gaining sentience or not even being conscious, just being hyper intelligent with goals that do not align with human beings, to the extent it has access to communications networks, it could very easily, either because a human has set it loose or on its own accord, manipulate populations, manipulate leaders, and undoubtedly could do that. And in fact, again, just the mere idea of it being in the public sphere as deeply as it is now, I think that the possibility of, say, World War III breaking out and half the population is certain that artificial intelligence did it, that's sort of what I'm talking about when we are entering an era in which what is real and what is pure fantasy is going to become increasingly indistinguishable. It's going to be very difficult to tell whether or not those space lasers really are shooting Maui to start fires, whether those space lasers are shooting you and controlling your thoughts. These sorts of ideas were in the realm of science fiction before. As these technologies become more and more advanced and sophisticated, and as the lies, people, I mean, I've seen this many, many times, people just simply come up with a fictional story and say, you know, oh, I don't know, that nanobots are connecting your brain to the demonic realm through quantum energy, something like that. These sorts of stories become much more plausible with the sophistication of the technologies. So, yeah, you know, Dave, I think that the descent into insanity, one of my chapters, by the way, entitled In Praise of the Mad Prophets, it goes back all the way to the late 1700s with the first person who ever thought that their brain had been implanted with a chip, at least on record. And I think that, the chapter is really an homage to the Mad Prophets whose psychotic visions more and more have become reality. But it doesn't change the fact they're insane, but being insane and being correct, that's not mutually exclusive.
Now, the thing is, finally, my point here, based on everything you've just said, we just went through nearly 3 years of a major issue where cognitive dissonance of a majority of the American population was impaired. There was more cognitive dissonance there. People refused to accept the truth. All the naysayers were out there, the frontline doctors, everybody was saying, no, this whole thing is nothing but, you know, they're having a hard time accepting that this is a bioweapon that was unleashed on America, that the jab was a furtherance of the bioweapon, that it was all designed to kill and murder and depopulate America, because there are elitists out there that feel that we don't need to be, with 7 billion people, we can get by with 500,000, like the Guidestone said. I mean, a lot of people look at these suspiciously, and now a lot more because of the fact we see people dropping dead, athletes dropping dead on the field. AI had a lot to do with the programming and giving people this cognitive dissonance, this mental mass psychosis you were talking about.
So the two ways in which artificial intelligence is really important in that, number one, to be able to spot what is deemed dis or misinformation. No human being is going to be able to sit and rake through all those communications to spot keywords or phrases or even just whole sentences and ideas. AI can. So it doesn't have to even be a very complicated AI. Some, you know, there are fairly simple systems that can be used to rake over Twitter, Facebook, Google, whatever, and be able to, it doesn't have to be intelligent is what I'm saying, like super intelligent. It can just simply be very effective, and it is. And it just completely, the ability to eradicate unwanted ideas from the digital space as human minds are melded to it, what we're talking about is cultural eugenics.
Oh my. Dark Aeon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. Joe Allen has a foreword on there by Steve Bannon. He writes for the Bannon Network, The War Room. Thank you so much, Joe Allen, for joining us. Man, we made a full hour out of this thing, and I hope you sell a lot of books. They'll be out tomorrow. You can order from Amazon and the other major booksellers out there. We appreciate you. We're out of time for today. We will be back tomorrow. I will have an after hour because there's a lot of news we didn't get to cover here on the show. I know we're just in a not a big amount of time here lost, so I'm talking very, very fast. But anyway, we appreciate you, Joe. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with the book. We will see you tomorrow. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. You got to stand up and fight for it, or we're going to lose everything.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com. iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Olive Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products
and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.